1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading verse 23. So 1 Corinthians 11, beginning of verse 23, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I want to take my text this morning from verse 26. In that verse, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Title of my message is The Witness of the Supper. The Witness of the Supper. Spread out on the table in front of the pulpit here is the bread and the wine for the Lord's Supper. The members of this church will be partaking this memorial very, very shortly. With the Lord's Supper, we have a set of directions that have been given. And it's important that we get those directions right. It's important that we have the proper elements. And it's important that we only have restricted or closed communion. Meaning that we limit it, or rather that it is limited. We don't limit it. The Lord did to the members of the church here. Rule of thumb is if you can't exclude them, you can't include them. If you want to remember it that way. So it's for the local church only. And it's important that we get all of those things right. It's important that we have wine and not grape juice. It's important that we have unleavened bread and not sweet rolls. You know, you can have your grape juice, you can have your sweet rolls, but not at the Lord's table. You can have that at your dinner table, but not here. It's important that we have all those things right and to get all of the correct boxes checked, if you will, in order to have the service. And as we think about that, and as we consider that, it is possible for a church, for any church, for an individual, any individual, to get so caught up in the mechanics of it, and the mechanics are important, that we miss what we're here for. In this, let us not glory in the fact that we have the boxes checked off correctly. But rather, let us glory in the Lord. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." You see, this morning there are other churches, including some Baptist churches, who have this all messed up. But we don't glory in the fact that we've got it right. We don't glory in the fact that we have closed communion. We don't glory in the fact that we're using wine. We don't glory in the fact that we've got the unleavened bread. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. We glory in the fact that it's Jesus of why we're here today. This is the witness of the supper, you see. The reason behind it all. Why is it that we do those things? Why is it that we serve the wine? Why is it that we have the unleavened bread? Because of the picture, you see. The picture. And were it not for the grace of God, you and I could be sitting in some liberal church somewhere that's serving up grape juice and dinner rolls. Were not for the grace of God, you and I could be in one of those places that believes it's not even a symbol. And there are people who think that it literally becomes the body and the blood of Christ. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, they had a lot of things goofed up about the supper. If you go back there to 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 18, well, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." You see, they had messed things up real bad at the church of Corinth. They were still a church, certainly, but they had goofed it up. In fact, Paul starts writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he says to them, when you're coming together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and telling them that y'all are not doing good by assembling. You'd be better off not. It's not for the better, it's for the worse. Because here's what's going on. He says, you're coming together. There's divisions and heresies and all this sort of thing. And when you come together, he said, I don't know what y'all call it, but it's not the Lord's Supper. You've made a meal out of it. Some people are eating, taking before his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. You see, it was a free-for-all at the church of Corinth. They had really messed the thing up. They had the right elements. You say, how do you know that? Well, last time I checked, you can't get drunk on grape juice. They had the right elements. And he didn't go after them for using wine either. So understand that. He went after them because they were making a meal out of it. If you're doing it right, you're not getting drunk off the Lord's Supper wine. But you can get drunk off of it because it's wine. You see, the problem was the excess of it. The problem was the abuse of it. And then what we read is our text, verses 23 through 26. He reminds them. You see, this wasn't the first time they had heard directions about the Lord's Supper. He told them in verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. You see, that was past tense. He'd already taught them. But verse 26, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the focal point. And when we have the focal point right, we understand that this is the Lord's table. It's not ours. God did not give us permission to try to improve upon it or to change it. You know, the Catholics believe that sort of thing. You know that? I had a Catholic fellow tell me one time, and he said, the church wrote the Bible so the church can change the Bible. No, that's not how that works, you see. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. And so where the Bible tells us that we ought to do something, we ought to do it. But why? Why? To show the Lord's death till he come. Oh, we better get this right. Better get right. Better stay focused. And as Paul said to the church of Galatia, he had nothing to glory of save in the cross of Jesus Christ. I praise God that I'm a member of a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. In general, generally speaking, I'm saying that I'm a member of one. But in particular, I praise the Lord that I'm a member of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Poplarville, Hortense, Georgia, you see. Specific place, specific time, specific membership. This is where I'm a member. And I thank the Lord for it because we have these things correct. But let us remember why we're here. Why we're here. And that ought to be something we think about and consider. Anytime we're reading our Bibles or coming to worship or anything. A quote I put up on Facebook recently was from J.L. Dagg. He was a theologian from, I think it was the 1800s, but he said to study theology for the purpose of gratifying curiosity or preparing a profession is an abuse and profanation of what ought to be regarded as most holy. To learn things pertaining to God merely for the sake of amusement or secular advantage or to gratify the mere love of knowledge is to treat the Most High with contempt. In other words, when we study theology, it's not just for up here, but we want to be drawn closer to the Lord and to learn more about Him. That's what this book is about. God is speaking to us through His Word. This is the way He communicates to us. How important it is for us to not lose sight of who God is. And when we think about that, whatever we believe in our statement of faith, it ought to draw us closer that we may know Him better. This is true in faith and practice. Our goal in life isn't that we can learn the doctrines, the ordinances, learn the things about the church, learn all of that so that we can appear superior to someone else when we talk to them or when we're asked a question so that we can win debates or arguments. No. We ought to know these things. Every one of us ought to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we ought to be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone, every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, it's not just about knowing systematic theology, knowing the scriptures, knowing apologetics, and all of those things just for the sake of being the greatest debate person, but to know the Lord and all to the glory of God, that we may be drawn closer to Him. And central to everything that we believe, central to everything that we are, is Jesus Christ, the cross. He died there. Were it not for the fact that Jesus died on the cross, what are we left with? You see, it's central to our beliefs, central to who we are, central to the reason that you and I even got up this morning to come to church. And that's what's so great about the supper. Because as oft as we do it, we're reminded. We're reminded about what Jesus did on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, begin at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Sounds shocking to say when we're here together on the Lord's Day for the Lord's Supper. But the reality is that we often go through life and don't think about what the Lord has done. And that's why we've been given a reminder. And we ought to think about it and consider it, not just today, but for the days ahead, and to remember, even long after the taste of the wine has left, to remember and reflect on what the Lord has done. You see, a reminder. Reminder for me when I study and when I preach that this is why we're here. You see, not only why we're here, but the fact is that I'm delivering a message to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was bought for, paid for by Jesus Christ Himself, that He died for this church. To take it very seriously. From the time in my study to the time that I stand here to come trembling knowing that I'm holding the Word of God and presenting it to the people, that God loved the people, the church that Christ died for. But it's not just a reminder for me, it's a reminder for you too. Whatever you do for the Lord and the Lord's church, to remember what Jesus has done and why we do the things we do and what it means. I mean, when the grass is cut, it's not just any grass. It's not just any yard. It's the grass for the church that Christ died for. When we take and we bring our tithes and our offerings, it's not just money. It's not just a bill that needs to be paid. It's not just a check mark. But this is for the church that Christ died for. When the treasurer gets the money, counts it, remember that this money is for the church that Christ died for. You see, when the church comes together to worship, to remember that we are church that Christ died for. When we come together for business meetings, it's not just a business like a Walmart or a Dollar Tree or something like that. This is more serious than that, more important than that. Because this is the business for the church that the Lord died for. Whatever the case, vacuuming the floor to turning on the lights, right? Everything. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. Cleaning the toilet. Praise God. Cleaning this toilet for the church that Christ died for. Oh, there's others. There's other churches. There's other people that Christ died for. But today we remember that the Lord died for us as individuals. That Christ died for His church. That this is the church that the Lord has died for. He is the head and the founder of it. We meet here today, remembering what the Lord did personally for us. For us. But you know, we don't just remember what the Lord did for us in the past. Look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When he had given thanks, he brake it, verse 24, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." We remember what the Lord did. His body was broken. His blood was shed. But he didn't stop there, did he? Because in verse 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." You do show the Lord's death till when he come. We're reminded that the Lord is alive. Jesus is alive. He died. He was on the cross. Just like we see there in the bread and the wine pictured. But we're reminded that He is living and one day coming back for us. As long as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we're reminded what the Lord did on the cross. But we're also reminded that we're still here. He hasn't come back. Because one of these days, the picture is going to be done away with. Because we'll look face to face with the Lord when He comes back for us. What a joy that is. I love the picture. I love the Lord's Supper. But it's only a picture. Something better is coming, folks. When our faith becomes sight, and we'll see Jesus. You see, we're reminded of that even here today. As we show the Lord's death till He come. He is coming. He is coming. Oh, what a beautiful day that'll be. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but wouldn't it be great if He came back while we're having the supper? Wouldn't it be great to be raptured out here today? I don't know. I don't know when He's coming. But I'm reminded in the supper that He is. That He is. Our crucified Savior lives and is coming back for us. So as we think about this, I read a story one time. A young pastor. He never served in a capacity where he was having the Lord's Supper like that. And as he led the congregation, he messed up. What he did was he presented the wine first before the bread. He realized what he'd done, but by that time it was too late. So he just went with it. So he just moved forward. But it caused a deacon in the church to get pretty upset because he'd done it out of order. He'd done it out of order. What happened was that deacon wasn't focused on the picture. He wasn't focused on Christ. He got upset because the young pastor had messed up in the presentation. Pastors are humans. They're going to goof up some ways. And if the order got goofed up in the serving of the wine and the bread, and that was the only thing that was wrong in the service, that's okay. Let's remember that we've come to remember the Lord and what He did. He'd get it right. That young pastor, I guarantee he never forgot the right order after that. You see what I'm saying? Let's not forget the reason why we're here. The mechanics of it are important. All of it's important. Every bit of the worship service, the playing of the piano, the prayers, the songs, the preaching, all of that's important. And we ought to get it right. But let us remember, as we observe the Lord's Supper today, let us remember the central focus of why we've come. To show the Lord's death till he comes. So at this time, I invite the members of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church to come to the first couple of rows there. for the observing of the Lord's Supper. In Mark chapter 14, in Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin reading verse 22. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank it. He said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We've come to the to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, in that order. This ordinance was given to us to celebrate, to remember the Lord's death, his broken body and his shed blood. It was given on the night of his betrayal, the conclusion of the Feast of Passover, when he and his disciples were celebrating. We have here on the table in front one loaf of unleavened bread. It is one loaf picturing the fact that we have only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have many Saviors. There's only one. His name is Jesus. It's unleavened because he was sinless. He is sinless. There was no bit of sin in him. It's perfect. As it is broken, we're reminded that our Lord, his physical body, was broken for us on the cross of Calvary. It's also one loaf, as we partake of it, reminding us that we are the body of Christ, that there's only one church here in this location. We know there are many churches, but here, one. That he died for his church. Pray and distribute.
Heavenly Father, as we partake of this, help us to understand the meaning, to think about the price that was paid, that the body of Christ was broken upon the cross for our sins. Father, forgive us of these sins, Father. Help us, Lord, to always keep this before us, to always remember this, Father, the great sacrifice that was paid. Father, help us to come together in unity as this one body here in this location. Help us to show love to one another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And be with us now, at this time, throughout this week, and throughout the coming year, Father. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, it says that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." On the same night that our Lord and the disciples were there, he took the cup, having blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." We have here one pitcher, one cup. Fermented grape wine. It pictures the sinless blood of Christ. It's one cup because we have only one Savior. This Savior poured out his blood, willingly shed his blood for his people. All of his people, the world over, past, present, future. We know there are many people in this world that Christ died for. He didn't just die for the people who are members of a church. But in this ordinance, we're showing that the Lord died specifically for his church here at this location. On the table here, I've also got some cups. These cups are the equal number of people that we have here, reminding us that Christ died for each one of us as individuals as well. When we think about this, his blood secured the remission of our sins. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your Son who willingly poured out his blood, shed his blood for us. Lord, we're thankful for the wine, for the picture. Lord, we're thankful for this ordinance. We're thankful today that our Savior willingly died for us and is living. One day coming back for us. Lord, help us to remember this even long after we've lost the taste of the wine from our mouths. But Lord, as we partake, help us to have our sights on you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25, where we read earlier, it says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" After our Lord and his disciples had ate the bread, drank the cup, when that service was complete, it is written that they sung a hymn and went out. So let us stand and sing "Amazing Grace." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. All right, you may be dismissed.
Before everybody leaves.